Good morning. So as Jenny said, we're beginning a short series of four sermons about going deeper in our relationship with God, practicing his presence. Being disciples of Jesus is not just about sitting back in our salvation. We are called to explore and to act in and on our faith. And we take this journey individually, each of us, and also together as a fellowship, as a church. Today, I'm very happy to be talking about something that is very close to my own heart, and that is friendship. I am, it may surprise some of you to know, an introvert. It's true, I've been tested. At work, a number of years ago, I had my personality assessed using the Myers-Briggs test, which some of you may have heard of and some of you may know about. It is used quite a lot in the workplace to work out how people work with each other and to best fit people together in teams. It uses a number of questions to determine four different aspects of your personality, or of my personality in this case. And it is meant to help you understand yourself and understand others around you as well. Anyway, I was determined to be an INTJ. I'm not going to go into all of those. It's far too boring. But the I means I'm an introvert. And what this means is that I find being alone quite restful. And I get my energy back. I get my batteries charged back up by going into my little cave and hunkering down and then coming out and spending my energy being with other people. And it also means that I prefer to be with, I'm most comfortable with three or four people rather than with large groups of people. Extroverts are different. They're kind of the other way around. They get a lot of energy from being in parties and being in big groups. And they charge their batteries back up. And then they spend their batteries out when they're on their own. So anyway, I'm not really a party person. But I do find that the friendships I have are very, very important to me. And COVID has definitely served to reinforce this, and I'm sure it's the same for most of us. I know that I can endure long periods without company, but I also know that I really miss people. And I absolutely treasure the time that I have with my friends. And now I'm beginning to see a few more of them again. It's wonderful. And friends are great. Proper friends, we make time for each other. You know, we go out of our way. If we try and set a date, we try and encompass everybody. And we make each other laugh, and we enjoy each other's company. And sometimes, at least this is me with my friends, we even very slightly share our problems. With my Christian friends, I talk about God. And with my non-Christian friends, I sometimes try to. But I have one friend, one very close friend, who is very different. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is with me all the time, even when I'm ignoring him. I know he's there. But what does this mean to call Jesus my friend? What does this friendship consist of? How does it work? Well, my friendship with Jesus started when I was a child. I've known him for a long time. I saw glimpses and reflections of him in the Christians I knew, in my mum and dad and my Christian friends. But mostly, I think like many people, or most people, I came to know him through the Bible. I learned about the kind of man he was. I learned about his wisdom and his patience. I learned about his holiness, his goodness, and the fact that he stood out from everybody around him. I learned about his power and his majesty. And most of all, I learned about his love and his compassion. Jesus showed me what God is like. And then, as I grew, I came to have a personal relationship with him. My mind and heart were turned to him. I confessed him as my Lord and Saviour, and I started talking to him. I praise him, and I complain and moan to him. I ask him for help a lot of the time, and I ask him to care for the people in my life, and I ask him to fix things all over the world. And I tell him I'm sorry, and I ask for his forgiveness. And sometimes I even listen to him. Although I have found, I think like many people, he seldom speaks in the way I expect, but he often does speak, I have found, if I listen carefully. I have found that these three ways of knowing Jesus are interdependent. My prayer relationship with Jesus is important and crucial to me, but I still learn about him from seeing him in others, in my brothers and sisters, in my fellowship with this church. And probably most of all, I still learn about him from studying the Bible. I think it is in the Gospels mostly that we see the type of person Jesus was. We see his holiness, and we see his humanity. And we see it clearly and dramatically in the story of his friend Lazarus. The passage we heard today from John, the first part, is powerful and moving. It is powerful in that it shows Jesus as the Son of God, commanding Lazarus back to life, calling him out of his tomb. We see Jesus' divinity like a shaft of brightest light into the darkest darkness of this world, breaking through into our human experience. We see God, no question. We see Jesus showing his authority and his power, the power of the Son of God. And at the same time, the story I find, and I think many of you will find too, is incredibly moving, deeply emotional. To see Jesus meeting his friends, Lazarus' sisters, who believe in him and trust in him. First, Martha, who meets him on the road and clearly and firmly declares her faith in him, naming him the Messiah and the Son of God. And then Mary, who when hearing he's coming, rushes out to meet him, trailed by lots of Jews, lots of friends and relations. And John writes, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Famously, the shortest verse in the Bible, but much, much more importantly, probably the most expressive. When he arrived to find his friend Lazarus dead and buried, when he saw the effect on his friends, Jesus wept. In this story, we see laid bare, side by side, the divinity and humanity of Jesus. I don't know about you, I think it's the same for many of you, but I find him utterly compelling. And he calls me his friend. Human beings are designed and created for relationship with each other, and for relationship with God. We are made to have friends. We know God as our loving Father, and I hope we also know Jesus as our King and as our Lord. He sets the example, he shows us the way to live, He leads us, and he died for us. On the cross, he took our place and takes our blame. And he makes things right between us and our Creator and Father. Jesus takes us into God's kingdom, along with him as his brothers and sisters. Even though we are broken and rebellious, and we do not deserve it, he leads us into God's presence. He saves us. We know God, our Father and Creator. We know Jesus, our King and Savior. But we can also know Jesus as our friend. Now, this is quite bonkers in some ways. It is radical. It is remarkable. And for many people, the idea that God could be friends with me is ridiculous. In fact, most believers in God, in almost every religion, and even many Christians, find the idea too difficult to accept. But Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus himself claims us as his friends. This man who can raise his friend from the dead, this man who weeps in compassion, calls us his friends. And our friendship with Jesus is incredibly intimate and honest. It kind of has to be. He knows more about me than I know about myself. I cannot mislead him. I cannot, however hard I try, lie to him or hide anything from him. It is a deep, infinitely deep friendship. And we, on our side, cannot break it. And he has promised he will never break it. We can run from him. We can turn our back on him. We can curse him and rant at him. In fact, we can crucify him. But Jesus is always there, waiting for us to turn back, waiting to give us a hug. Hugs, eh? Do you remember those? I'm so looking forward to being able to give my friends hugs. But I think most of all in my life, I'm looking forward to Jesus giving me a physical hug. Anyway, so what does this friendship with Jesus mean? It simply means accepting his offer. He offers us friendship. This does not override his position as our Lord and Savior. Yes, he is our Lord and our King, but he is definitely not remote or impersonal. I do not believe it is possible for me to be distant from Jesus. Through the wonder of the Holy Spirit, he is with me always and everywhere. And through the Holy Spirit, I have been given personal contact with him. To Jesus, I am not part of the crowd. He offers me, and he offers you, intimacy and friendship. And this means we need to learn a bit about him. It means reading about him and talking to him. It means opening ourselves up to him, inviting him into our hearts. He knows the truth about me, but still wants me to share it with him. And he wants me to know him. I know he will cry with me and for me. His humanity and his empathy are perfect. He doesn't have any blind spots. He knows how I feel, and he knows what I need. I know I can relax totally in my friendship with Jesus. Our friendship with Jesus is at the same time intimate and personal, but also broad and expansive. He loves us, and he wants us to love each other. We are called to share his love with each other. In fact, he commands it. Jesus makes it clear that his friendship with us is intertwined and dependent on our love for each other. The friendship Jesus offers us is one that by definition encompasses others. In the 4th century, Saint Augustine of Hippo became a Christian. Now, if you want to read anything about Christian history and the church fathers, you'll realise quite how important that was. A lot of what we take for granted, a lot of what we have in our Book of Common Prayer, is based on St. Augustine's writings and his understanding of Paul. Anyway, he became a Christian in a story that to me seems very, very similar to things I hear about and I've actually experienced. Augustine came to Christ after mocking his own close friend, his childhood friend, who'd become a Christian and baptized in his illness. His friend died. And Augustine was distraught and overwhelmed with grief. Years later, he realized what this had all meant, and he turned to Christ. In his own life and in his teaching, Augustine sees a progression from a selfish friendship, his original friendship with his friend, who he saw as somebody there to make him happy. And he enjoyed the friendship. There's a huge amount of enjoyment, and it was probably mutual. But Augustine saw his loss of his friend as something taken away from him. From him. Augustine came to see that the most important kind of love is not that self-love and not that self-love for friendship. It's the sacrificial love. And that is what we are called to do with our friends, with our brothers and sisters in this fellowship, in this church, and our neighbours, and our friends, and everybody in the world. That is the love that Jesus wants to see. As I have loved you, says Jesus. This is how we're called to love each other. Augustine wrote, "If your delight is in souls, in people, love them in God, because they too are frail and stand firm only when they cling to him. If they do not, they go their own way and are lost. Love them then in him and draw as many with you to him as you can. Tell them he is the one we should love. He made the world and stays very close to it." Jesus said, "This is my command, love each other." So to learn about Jesus and his love for us, his friends, to relax into his friendship, and to share this love with others as we were designed and created to do, this is a fundamental part of our Christian faith and our journey ahead. And I ask us all to embrace these challenges. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Amen.